It is Ward Wednesday time here on Locked On Vols. Josh Ward will stop by the show for a two-part conversation in segments one and two. And then we'll take a look at the Pro Football Focus rankings or stats and grades from Tennessee's win over South Alabama and the highlights from Tuesday's media availabilities. All that and more here on Award Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into a Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. It's your team every single day, and your team, of course, is Tennessee. Available every single workday, 5 days a week, on all platforms, completely free, and YouTube coming soon. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kane, or on Twitter, at Locked On Vols, a radio personality at 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville, and also right for the rival side covering Tennessee, that is VolQuest.com. So we got a fun show coming up today, but let's go ahead and get into our conversation with Josh Ward, and he had some good things to say about Tennessee football, Tennessee recruiting, and Tennessee basketball from over the weekend. So my conversation, part one, with Josh Ward. Well, welcome back to the show. Josh Ward here on Ward Wednesday. We do it every single Wednesday here on Locked On Vols, the host of Sports 180, 99.1 The Sports Animal, and of course, former host here of Locked On Vols. Josh, Tennessee, not a whole lot to take away from that win against South Alabama the other night, but the Volunteers are bowl eligible for the 54th time in program history.
Yeah, Tennessee went out there and took care of business against South Alabama, which Tennessee fans wanted to see. The fans were able to see more offense, more exciting plays, a return by Velus Jones, which was terrific. And Tennessee's going bowling with the chance to get a seventh regular season win. I can't think of anything that fans can complain about. I think the biggest takeaway I have is that it's been a really enjoyable season for fans to watch.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, they've been scoring points. I think it was the second time this season they scored 60 points. This team is already in third place in terms of most points scored in a single season. 2016's team has just a couple more points that this year's team should surpass 2016 here against Vanderbilt. And it's been a whole lot of fun. When looking at Tennessee's offense the other night, and again, I know it's against an inferior opponent, but Tennessee scored on its first seven offensive possessions. Not just scored touchdowns. And I don't count that drive before halftime. That was one play. Looked like Velus Jones continues to become a better all-around wide receiver. And Cedric Tillman, it's been a real magical season for him.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I think what Cedric Tillman has done on this team is one of the best stories, considering he was not a highly touted recruit, excuse me, playing at a school where they get a ton of attention at Bishop Gorman. And he comes in, he waits, he develops, he has a coaching change, and really blossoms in the middle of the season and takes off. And yeah, his future all of a sudden looks really bright in the game of football, potentially. And we'll see for 2022 what that means as it relates to Tennessee. But yeah, I think player development, especially on the offensive side, with what guys have been able to do in this offense, which is definitely friendly to the skill position players, it's really incredible, and it sets up for more future success with the next wave of players that will come in.
Yeah, a couple of other guys I was impressed with. Jalen Wright, I thought, ran the football really effectively. And again, take all this with a grain of salt, but I did think that he showed more patience, didn't just bounce it outside. He was really selective in when he would cut back or when he would bounce. Thought Roman Harrison played the best game of his life, and he's been playing a little bit better week by week, but I thought he was everywhere defensively the other night. It looks like Tennessee's starting to create some of that depth. Of course, it's towards the end of the season, but that looks good for a 2022 perspective.
Yeah, I think Jalen Wright at running back is a guy that has speed. I think he has shown a willingness to work hard to earn an opportunity. When you go back to not really getting a lot of attention in Durham, North Carolina, to then getting an opportunity to come into Tennessee. And, yeah, as a freshman, there was a lot to learn and pick up and figure out what he had to do in a backfield where earlier in the season you had Tyon Evans and Jabari Small. But the fact that he was able to stick it out and be able to get more of an opportunity and I think make the most of it is a good sign for the future. Let's see up front on the defensive side. Roman Harrison, we've talked so much about in his first two seasons in terms of his potential. He was the guy that we would always hear about raw ability. And, you know, maybe that's something that can come together with, pass rush is just such an important part of what this defense is going to need. And we've seen when things are going really well, the Vols defense ability to disrupt up front. And you're just going to have to do that with what Tennessee's offense tries to do. So you know, if they get more players and more depth and more talent, realistically, there's something that they can build up front on defense.
You know, Josh, SEC co-special teams player of the week, that's Velus Jones. And, I mean, I could see a little bit of it last year, but I really see it this year. Obviously, he's having a better year in terms of returning. He's actually allowed to return punts this year. He wasn't even back there returning punts all of last year a whole lot of times, which is just bizarre to me. It is kind of new to him in terms of he's always been a kick returner, not always been a punt returner. But, I mean, Velus Jones has a knack for returning, had a great career at USC, and he's a guy that I think potentially made himself a little bit of money this year. I mean, he'll get a look. He might be in a training camp. Likely as a return guy.
Yeah, he'll definitely be in camp, and he'll have an opportunity because he's been a terrific return man in college. He has really good speed. He's been able to do a little bit more on offense this year, and I think his entire career he's been waiting for a chance probably to do more. Coming back really worked out for Velus because of what this offense is. Again, it comes back to opportunity for skill position players, but I think his best chance to play in the NFL would be as a return man. And his best chance to get an opportunity will be his speed. He can run. And if you can, teams are going to notice they're going to give you an opportunity. And, yeah, he's had a chance to mature. He's an older guy at Tennessee. And I think he's offered really good perspective this year on what the experience has been like coming back. So Velus is no doubt. He's one of the winners from the opportunity to play an extra year because of COVID and transferring to Tennessee, I think, worked out for him having been at USC before. So, will he make it in the NFL? I don't know, but he will definitely have an opportunity.
You know, tomorrow's topic for the show on Thanksgiving is going to be a little bit of a specialty show. It's going to be all about recruiting, and we were just talking about Roman Harrison. Tennessee finally picked up another commit after 109 days, and it is another Leo in Joshua Josephs. What do you like about this player? It was obviously a priority target for Tennessee, a guy that Tennessee's been after for a while.
Yeah, he's a player that I've brought up over the last few months that is really important for Tennessee because Tennessee needs more pass rush help, what we were talking about just a moment ago. Also, he looks like a nice prospect where Michigan appeared to lead for a little bit of time and then Tennessee was able to make up some ground. If that's accurate, that Michigan was the leader, it seemed that way for a while. So to be able to do that and be able to add him to the class, recruiting Georgia is going to be really important for Tennessee. So getting somebody that can come in, He'll have an opportunity to add some weight at Tennessee and be disruptive up front. That's the name of the game for Tennessee on the defensive side. So they need more pass rush help, and Joshua Josephs is a guy that I think he's based on his potential is maybe he's either underrated or he will have a chance to show in college that he was underrated when we look back at how he was viewed as a prospect. So a nice guy for Tennessee to add and plenty of upside for Joshua Josephs. And I think it adds to the momentum that you feel there with Justin Williams liking Tennessee at the running back position. There are a few other guys that Tennessee's in a really good position to land. You need guys like this, and they'll try to recruit at a higher level in 2023, but these are some of the highest-rated guys on Tennessee's board. Forget the recruiting sites and the conversation you and I have. Look at the board that Tennessee's coaches have. I promise you, Joshua Josephs has ranked high on it for the last couple of months.
Yeah, I was going to say, you kind of look at the 2022 class, and we can talk about how this gets to the staff behind the eight ball, fighting against potential sanctions, all that type of stuff. Kind of what do you make of this class? Should this class, I don't think it's going to be a highly rated class. It might sneak into the top 20, in my opinion. But should this class or should recruiting only go up from here? And not saying that there's not quality players in here, because I agree with you. The coaches, there's a lot of players in this class the coaches really, really like. I mean, they like Dylan Sampson a whole lot. They like Cam Miller. Of course, Addison Nichols, Joshua Josephs. But point being, should recruiting only go up from here if you're Josh Heupel? And if not, Josh, is that a concern?
Yes and yes. It has to go up because the goal and the talk right now is Tennessee trying to win championships in the future. Could it happen if recruiting doesn't improve? I suppose, but history says that it won't. History says there's no chance. So that's not a knock on Tennessee's coaches. It's just it has to happen. I think it will be. I think Tennessee will have a more highly rated class in 2023 and 2024 because of where things are right now. So, yeah, I mean, you need a really high success rate here in this class. I mean, one of the challenges Tennessee will face is that last year's class did not work out the way that it was supposed to because of everything that went on. You had guys that you signed that ended up deciding to go elsewhere, and then this class is not highly ranked. So you know, if the goal is to get where Alabama is and where Georgia is and where LSU has been, that's through recruiting. Coaching is important. I'm going to repeat that. But coaching really good players is what gets you to a championship level. So, sure, recruiting has to improve in the future. And if it doesn't, that would actually be alarming.
We will have more coming up with Josh Ward in segment number two. But let me remind you about Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy that's made easy. It's a leader in college sports daily fantasy and offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all the star players of the Power Five as well as the mid-majors too. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. And all you new users, if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. You pick the 2 to 5 players, the over and under, and the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. And Prize Picks, it also allows mixed sports entries as well. You can take the over and under and the rebounds in the Lakers-Wizards game or the number of turnovers in the Chiefs-Saints. Whatever the case may be, use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in less than 60 seconds. It's that easy. Plus, Prize Picks offers safe and fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, or you can go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All right, one more football question. Tennessee finishes off the regular season Saturday, 3:45 Eastern time. What a lovely kickoff time, right? That's going to be, I believe, on the SEC Network. I did my first glance piece for VolQuest a couple days ago. I dove into the numbers. I looked at everything on paper. And my goodness, Vanderbilt is just straight trash on paper. But it's why you play the game, right? And this series here in the last decade has shown us you can't just assume any type of win. But I do think it's safe to say Tennessee should finish off the regular season, should score a whole lot of points, and it should be the exclamation point to a regular season job well done for Josh Heupel. What do you see in this Vanderbilt game?
Yeah, I really don't see an opportunity for Vanderbilt to win. It's a bad team. It's a really bad team. And it's a team that through the season has appeared to fight and was more competitive than I expected against Ole Miss this past week. So keep that in mind. But there just haven't been many close games for Vanderbilt this season, especially in SEC play. The South Carolina game is one that Vandy let get away. The Missouri game is one where Vanderbilt was competitive. But Tennessee's offense is what has driven the season for the Vols. And it's what should keep Vanderbilt from having a chance this Saturday. What I have liked most for Tennessee this year is that against middle-of-the-pack opponents, or certainly bottom-level opponents, which Vanderbilt is, Tennessee's ability to score at such a high rate and do it so consistently, especially out of the gates, it keeps teams like Vanderbilt from being able to keep up. So if Tennessee is anywhere close to where it has been, especially in the first half, I just don't see a chance for Vanderbilt. If I'm wrong, if Tennessee goes out there and commits penalties, turnovers, and all of a sudden in the second quarter, you're like, what's going on with Tennessee's offense today? Maybe things get interesting. I just don't see that happening. I think it's more likely Tennessee wins by 4 touchdowns plus than Vanderbilt has a chance to pull off the upset.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's Josh Ward, Sports 180 host, 99.1 The Sports Animal. Let's flip the script over to the hardwood. Up and down weekend for the Volunteers in Connecticut. You get absolutely embarrassed on an afternoon where you just flat out you don't show up against number 5 Villanova, but you respond well. A game where Josiah Jordan James didn't play; he was out due to some sickness and also an injury to his thumb. Tennessee responds against number 18 Carolina and wins big. Your thoughts overall from Tennessee's play this past weekend?
Yeah, I thought there were positives for sure to take out of the weekend. I would start in the backcourt with Kennedy Chandler and Zakai Ziegler. What they can be for Tennessee at that point position and what that allows Santiago Vescovi to do. I think that showed up in the North Carolina game. The Villanova game was terrible for Tennessee. It can produce positives as this season goes along. Tennessee saw for the first time this year what it takes to play at the highest level in college basketball. As Villanova, I think, is a legitimate top 10 team in college hoops. Nova lost the next day to Purdue, but Purdue is a potential Final Four team. But Nova also has veteran players who have been in big games. They had already played a big one against UCLA at the start of the season. So Tennessee saw what it takes. Tennessee did not take care of the basketball. Tennessee did not shoot well. Tennessee did not respond well to what Villanova did on the court. But when you take on tougher opponents in non-conference and also in SEC play, Tennessee will have a better idea of what it's supposed to do. North Carolina is a nice win for Tennessee, But I think the backcourt potential for Tennessee will get better. I think we'll see them play better as the season goes along, and that will show up nicely for Tennessee when we get to the tournament. Now, how do they shoot? You're never going to know, game in, game out. But the ability to shoot, Justin Powell's arrival on the team will help this team's shooting ability. Olivier Akumwa, he also saw in the Villanova game what he needs to do. So I thought it was a productive weekend. You'd love to win both of them. Realistically, looking at that game, Tennessee was just not going to beat Villanova. That was not going to happen. But getting a solid win against a North Carolina team that's pretty good out of the ACC, that's something to bring back to Knoxville. This is going to be a good team. Where is it going to finish in the SEC? I don't know, because the league has a bunch of good teams, but Tennessee is definitely one of them.
Well, I mean, I'm just really intrigued, and we'll finish up here with Zakai Ziegler. He's a guy that came here knowing Kennedy Chandler was coming in, but said, okay, hey, I'm going to come in, play my role this year. Chandler is expected to leave after this year, and then he's going to be a guy and going to be a good player for Tennessee. He's going to have a role in this. It's not like he's not going to play. I think he played a little bit more, especially in Sunday's game because of some of the injury situations. What do you see from him? He looked outstanding. Looked like he was the best player on the court the majority of the game, and that's a lot of praise there for a true freshman backup point guard who I do believe will turn into be a fan favorite, if not now, down the line for Tennessee.
Yeah, how can you not like Ziegler? I think he's already becoming a fan favorite. His ability to attack the basket, he can make plays, he can score, he's quick. He's obviously not very big, but I don't know that that matters that much. I mean, there'll probably be some defensive challenges that come with that, but this is a good coaching staff that knows what to do on the defensive end of the floor. So they'll be fine there. Ziegler's he's going to play for Tennessee, and I think he's going to be an important player. He also creates interesting lineup opportunities where Chandler can play either off the ball or both guys are handling the basketball, so it's more playmakers on the floor. And if you have Ziegler, Vescovi, and Kennedy Chandler, defensively we'll see what that means for Tennessee, but offensively it creates some matchup advantages, I think, against the other teams. So Ziegler is a really nice find. It was a smart decision by the staff to offer him and have him come in. So fans like him, and I think they're going to like watching him play a lot. He's going to be exciting.
All right, last thing, man. Obviously, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and you got a lot to be thankful for in your personal life. You got a beautiful wife, two awesome kids. You work with me at the station, so you got a lot going for you there. But as far as your sports fandom, I think you and I will have the same answer to this. What are you thankful for in sports in 2021?
Well, yes, yeah, sports fandom, Braves World Series win. I haven't been able to thank the sports gods for that one in 26 years. So add that to the list. I'm a Bulls fan. We're going back to the same time in the mid to late 90s when they were last really good at a championship level. Derrick Rose provided some fun as well. They had some competitive teams, no doubt, as he won an MVP. But they're back near the top of the Eastern Conference standings, so that's exciting. I have a lot to be thankful for. In that regard, we're not going to mention the Raiders. We'll move right on past them as they do play on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys.
Yeah, my Titans, you know, had the best record in the AFC there for a little bit, and then you lose to the 1-7 Texans. You already lost to the 2-win Jets earlier this year. King Henry's no longer part of the team right now out with injury, and you have Ryan Tannehill throwing four interceptions, two of which coming into the red zone.
Hey, good news for the Titans, though, I would say, because in the playoffs you only play good teams. And it appears the Titans only beat good teams. They don't beat the bad teams. They beat the good teams. So that should bode well for the Titans when they get to the postseason.
And I am thankful for that. Josh, what's coming up on the show the rest of the week? Of course, you're on the air today and then on Friday.
Yeah, football talk and a lot of hoops. We're having a lot of fun. You can go back and podcast Sports 180. A plug would be the Sleigh Ride every Tuesday, 1 until 2 o'clock. You can listen live or we podcast the entire hour talking to Ron Sleigh. And he gets fired up talking basketball and football with Ron. So go check that out in the Sports 180 podcast on Apple Podcasts.
A big thank you to Josh Ward. As always, give him a follow on Twitter at @Josh_Ward. It's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Football, and nothing goes better than football than turkey and betting. All right, Bet Online, it's got you covered all holiday season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving Day. A lot of NFL football action going on as well. So head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website, sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first bet with promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On. you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, rather, okay? It's not just football either. BetOnline has your pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, and some of your favorite Las Vegas casino games. So I don't want you guys to miss out. I want you to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. See what they did there? Stuffed on Thanksgiving. And, of course, Built Bar. It's the best-tasting protein bar ever. If you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you're truly missing out because they say it's a protein bar, but it doesn't look like one, doesn't taste like one. You need to try one for yourself to truly believe what I'm talking about. So, you know, most of these protein bars are chalky or waxy. Some of them are hard to just really choke down, but a Built Bar is soft, and it's 100% real chocolate. And when you bite into it, you know you're experiencing something a little bit different. It's more just that. It's more of an experience and one that you're really going to enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low in carbs, low in calories, low in fats, low in sugars, and high in protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious and so many flavors. Okay, we're talking coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, and cherry. And this month, Built is coming out with new limited-time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So you need to check back to their website and check it often because you don't want to miss out. What is that website? I'll tell you. It is Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, guys, we got a final segment left here of a Wednesday Locked On Vols, and then we're going to get into our Thanksgiving Day celebrations. Just a reminder, we will have a Thanksgiving Day episode. You guys can take it or leave it. It's going to be a specialty show. A lot of you guys wanted 30 minutes devoted to recruiting. I'm going to do the best of my abilities to make that happen for tomorrow. So that's an episode where you might not have time to catch it tomorrow, but you can catch it Friday over the weekend, or maybe when you're in your car heading to a grandmother's house or aunt's house or a spouse's house or whatever the case may be, it will be available, and it will be all on recruiting for this Thursday. Then we'll be back to regular scheduled programming on Friday. We will have previews for Vanderbilt. We'll talk a little hoops, and I'll give you my thoughts on Tennessee heading into the Vanderbilt game. So that's the rest of the work week. That's kind of what it looks like here on Locked On Vols. Quickly, some media highlights from Tuesday. You know, the media relations at Tennessee is putting pretty much all the seniors that they know for a fact, the super seniors that are done, you know, with college football, in front of the media to kind of give their last, you know, hoorah and their last, like, you know, parting words and all that type of stuff, and allows us to ask some questions to them because it might be the last time we ever talk to them in this setting. And so, you know, we heard from Jaquan Blakely on Monday. We heard from Matthew Butler, Theo Jackson, Caleb Tremblay on Tuesday. We heard from somebody else on Monday. I can't really remember. But nonetheless, these super seniors. And, you know, it's going to be left up for interpretation on, you know, some of the seniors that are seniors in the field right now, the Cedric Tillmans, the Hendon Hookers, what those guys decide to do to the Jerome Carvins, you know, guys like that, the Kayron Calverts. Expecting a lot of those guys to be back, but you know, we'll see if they make official announcements in the weekend after the Vanderbilt game, you know, leading up to bowl preparation, all that type of stuff. But a couple of things that stood out to me on Tuesday, you know, Matthew Butler, he said, someone asked the question like, hey, you know, you're having a career year, you're playing better than you have ever, you know, has your mindset changed? Are you more confident? And he said, no, my mindset's never changed. It didn't matter if I was barely playing, if I wasn't playing well, or I'm playing the way I'm playing now, my mindset's never changed. The fact of the matter is, you know, he said, quote, I'm not good enough. You know, even if I was the best player in the SEC, I still wouldn't be good enough. So I'm thankful for coaches who have been pushing me, and I'm thankful for that mindset coming into practice each and every day. And then Caleb Tremblay, you know, who came in after, was asked about Matthew Butler, and he said, hey, I haven't been here a long time, but you know, being around Matthew Butler made me want to be a better football player. It made me a better competitor. It made me work harder. And I think that's the foundation that he's helped laying here for this defense and for this team moving forward. And I think that's, you know, really, really good thing for some of the recruits coming in, and of course some of the younger guys already on the team, that they say they can see, like, hey, this is the norm. This is what a winning culture looks like. And I think Matthew Butler was a big part of that. So that stood out to me from Tuesday. Also, Theo Jackson said that he watches about 3 to 4 hours of film by himself every single week. That might not seem like a large number, but when you're watching film, trust me, that is a large number. Plus, that's by himself.
That doesn't even take into account film you watch as a group with your position groups throughout the week and the meeting rooms. And I think that's a huge reason why he has been so successful this year. You can just tell he's playing with so much more confidence. He knows what's about to happen. You know, the other night against South Alabama on those screens and those swing passes, he beat his one man that was blocking him every single time. A lot of the times he knew that guy was not eligible the way he was lined up, so he knew what was coming. And, you know, it's just those type of little things that, you know, make a difference on the field. And I think with Theo Jackson, that's making a huge difference for him on the field, just being prepared. It's the outside preparation off the practice field, what you're doing throughout the week that gets you to where you need to be on Saturdays. And I'm sure he's picked up on some things from Willie Martinez and Tim Banks, you know, compared to the prior coaching staff and all that, but, you know, Derek Ansley and Jeremy Pruitt, but I just think it's the preparation he's put in off the field. So I found that interesting as well. And not that this is a major surprise, but Tim Banks also spoke with the media on Tuesday, and he said, hey, we're going to be without, you know, Alante Taylor next year. We're going to have to affect that in recruiting and all that type of stuff. And so looks like it's official. Alante Taylor will be going through senior day activities on Saturday. At least that's my expectation. So those were some of the highlights from media availabilities on Tuesday. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday, it'll be a normal Wednesday for Josh Heupel. He'll be on the SEC teleconference in the morning, and then he'll be at Vol calls at 8 o'clock. Thursday, normally that's the last time we get to hear from Josh Heupel. He has a press conference. That is not going to happen this Thursday because of the Thanksgiving holiday. There's nothing on Friday, and then it is game day on Saturday. So Tennessee and Vanderbilt, again, we'll have a full preview of that on Friday's show following the recruiting show that's coming up tomorrow on a Thursday. Real quick before we end this show, let's take a look at the Pro Football Focus grades for Tennessee from the win against South Carolina. A lot of guys played. I'm not going to go through every single grade here, but the grades overall were good because, well, you beat the crap out of a team that you should have beaten the crap out of, point blank. You look at Tennessee offensively, and it was led by Hendon Hooker. When you have three incompletions on the night, you're gonna have a pretty good grade. He graded out at 91.6. percent, and of course that is considered elite in this grading scale for Pro Football Focus. He played 50 snaps, and he was really, really good. Didn't take a whole lot of deep shots, but he was 2 of 3 deep shots, 84 yards. Those are balls that travel 20 yards in the air. He didn't attempt a single pass between a single pass between 10 to 20 yards outside of the hash mark. So, you know, no deep outs in that football game. But Hooker feasted on the numbers between the numbers, 5 of 5 throwing, you know, between 10 to 20 yards, 102 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that category. But the majority of Hooker's targets were between the line of scrimmage and 10 yards down the field. He was 8 of 10 for 59 yards on those. 25 dropbacks. He was blitzed only 6 times. He was 3 of 4 for 55 yards and a touchdown when he was blitzed. On play action, 18 of the 25 dropbacks were on play action. Really, really big percentage. He was 12 of 15, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns on those plays. And, of course, whenever you only have 3 incompletions on the night, your wide receivers are going to have a really, really sharp day. And Valus Jones Jr. led the way. He had a high grade in the 70s, as did Cedric Tillman and Princeton Fant. Did a really, really good job there. In the offensive line category, you had Ollie Lane, who led the way with 67.6, Spraggan 65.9, Cooper May 65.3, Jeremiah Crawford 64. Those were the top four marks. And Jabari Small had a grade of 81.6. He had a decent day running the football, while Lenith Whitehead 78.1 wasn't too far behind in limited opportunities. Two more notes real quick. Javonte Spraggins has not been the best pass protector in terms of Pro Football Focus this year, but he was the highest-graded offensive lineman for Tennessee in terms of pass protection on Saturday against South Alabama, so that was good. And the same for Jalen Wright. He has been flat-out abysmal in pass protection for the running back position, but he graded out at 72.9 in that regard this week, so I thought that was really, really good. You look at defense. As I mentioned, Roman Harrison had the game of his life, and he had the highest grade for Tennessee, 89.3 in 24 snaps. Matthew Butler, 82.2 in 43 snaps. You had Tyler Barron, who only played 19 snaps, 77.7. Let's find Karak Garland, who had that safety, 76.7 in 20 snaps. Aaron Beasley had a 76.6 grade. I thought that was good. Jeremy Banks had a 72.6 play, which was pretty solid overall, considering he didn't play in the first quarter, and so on and so forth. But, again, Roman Harrison had a really, really, really sharp game, and you know, he flashed. I thought he hit hard. He had really, really good backside pursuit. He
He laid the wood to some guys as well, you know, hit stick, if you will. So I thought he played pretty well in that regard. The Vols had five players who graded out as very good in the tackling category. That's Theo Jackson, Solon Page, Aaron Beasley, three linebackers, Jeremy Banks. That's a good sign. Jalen McCullough, a safety that's really struggled in tackling this year, and Roman Harrison, all plus 80% in terms of tackling, so that was good to see. Tyler Barron was the only defender to grade out in the 70-plus in the pass rush, and again, those were unlimited opportunities. Guys that struggled, Warren Burrell, he was targeted four times, gave up four catches for 105 yards. All four catches resulted in first downs for the offense. Jalen Wayne had a couple of those. You know, Jalen Tolbert had one as well. Got away with a couple of push-offs, but still, you got to find a way to not get beat. And Warren Burrell had a bad game. And he was the third lowest player graded out for Tennessee's defense at 50.7. That would be Warren Burrell. Kamal Haddon in limited opportunities. Let's see here. He played only 12 snaps, but he also gave up a 68-yard touchdown. He was Tennessee's lowest grader at 31.8. And William Mohan graded out at 46.2. He had 9 plays on defense. He's still learning kind of how to play defense there. But overall, the grades really, really sharp for Tennessee offensively and defensively, and that's expected in a 60-14 win at Neyland Stadium. All right, that'll do it here for Locked On Vols, a Wednesday edition. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, okay? It is your one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms, so make Locked On Bets your second listen. A reminder, we will have a specialty recruiting show coming up tomorrow, and then we'll be back with preview for Vanderbilt on Friday. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Guys, have a great and safe Thanksgiving holiday. If you're off and traveling, I hope you tune in to Locked On Vols, get caught up on the week. But most importantly, be safe and enjoy the time with your loved ones. We will talk tomorrow at same time, same place, right here on Locked On Vols. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody.